Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Daar is 'n kans dat iemand Zanti Swanepoel gaan ontmoet vir die heel eerste keer. Goeiemôre Zanti, hoop dit gaan goed.
Goeiemôre Brad. En dan is ek baie opgewonde om ook daardie persoon te ontmoet.
Oh, daar's hy. You never know. You never know who's listening. Zanti, it's always nice to hang out with you. Hope you're well on your side.
I am all blessed. Thank you.
Wonderful, thank wonderful.
You, thank you. Okay, vanoggend gaan ek sommer vinnig hier so aan die gang spring want ons tyd is min. En ek het regtig iets baie spesiaal om te deel vanoggend, so ek is baie opgewonde.
Ooh, nice.
Ek wil regtig in my hart luisteraar as jy vandag voel nê dat jy you are down and out and there's nothing you can do. I really want to encourage you dat met die Here aan jou kant wil ek vandag vir jou vasmaak in jou hart en in jou siel en in jou gees en in jou verstand. Markus 9 vers 23 wat sê for him who believes nothing is impossible. Ek gaan vandag vir jou 'n storie vertel en jy ken hierdie persoon en ken hom nie, weet van hom. Maar dalk het jy nie geweet dis die storie agter die storie nie en ek wil net vandag vir jou bless hiermee. The year was 1837. John Deere was 33 years old and everything was falling apart. Maybe this morning you are sitting and everything is falling apart. His blacksmith shop in Rutland, Vermont was failing. Creditors were at his door. Vermont's economy had collapsed and opportunities for a small town blacksmith had dried up completely. He had a wife and five hungry children and a future that looked darker every single day. Miskien voel jy vandag so. Most men would have given up, but John Deere decided to run. Not from his problems, but towards possibility. He abandoned Vermont and headed west to the wild American frontier. His destination, the Grand Detour in Illinois. A tiny settlement where land was cheap, settlers were pouring in, and a skilled blacksmith might actually survive. What he had found there would change the course of American history. The Midwest was a secret, or had a secret. Beneath the endless prairie gray lay the richest, most fertile soil in America. It should have been a farmer's paradise. Instead, it was their nightmare. The soil was thick, heavy, and sticky, and nothing like the sandy earth back east. When farmers tried to plow it with traditional cast iron plows, the mud clung to the blade like concrete. Every few feet they had to stop and scrape. The iron would crack and break. Hours of back-breaking work barely produced a single furrow. America's best farmland was almost impossible to farm. John Deere watched these struggling farmers and something clicked. He remembered the sawmills back in Vermont, how polished steel blades would slice through wood without anything sticking to them. The steel stayed clean, always. What if he made a plow from steel instead of cast iron? In 1837, Deere found a broken steel sawmill blade. Listen to this. He found a broken steel sawmill blade. He heated it in his forge. He used what he had. He heated it in his forge until it glowed orange. He hammered it into a curve of a plow. He polished it until it gleamed. He attached it to a wooden frame and handed it to a local farmer. "Try this," he said. The plow cut through the prairie soil like a hot knife through butter. The sticky earth had defeated every cast iron plow, simply slid off the polished steel surface. No scraping, no stopping, no breaking. It was self-cleaning, revolutionary, perfect. Word spread like a prairie fire. Farmers traveled miles just to see this miraculous plow. They came with money in their hands, desperate to buy one. Deere sold three plows in 1838, then 100 a year, then 1,000 a year, then 10,000 annually by 1857. But John Deere didn't just sell plows. He built a religion around quality. He personally inspected every single plow. Just think of this character of this man. He personally inspected every single plow. He constantly refined the design. He experimented endlessly with different steel grades and blade shapes, and he stamped his name on every piece. John Deere. His motto became his legacy. He said, I will never put my name on a product that does not have in it the best that is in me. Ek wil dit weer vandag vir jou sê. I will never put my name on a product that does not have in it the best that is in me. The philosophy is that obsessive commitment to quality. He transformed everything. The steel plow didn't just help farmers. It unlocked an entire continent. It made the Great Plains farmable. It enabled westward expansion. It helped turn America into the agricultural superpower that would eventually feed the world. Historians rank the steel plow alongside the cotton gin and the mechanical reaper as one of the most transformative inventions of the 19th century. In 1848, Deere moved his growing operation to Malone, Illinois, on the Mississippi River, where the company headquarters still stand today, 180 years later. When John Deere died in 1886 at the age of 82, he had gone from a bankrupt blacksmith who couldn't feed his family to an industrial titan whose company produced tens of thousands of plows annually. John Deere and Company is worth $100 billion today. It employs more than 83,000 people. It generates over $50 billion in annual revenue. And on every tractor, every combine, every piece of equipment, you'll still see the iconic leaping deer and two simple words, John Deere. The company's famous slogan, nothing runs like a deer, is not just marketing. It's a testament of a man who faced complete financial ruin, but everything on a better idea and built something that is still running strong 200 years later. Here's what makes his story extraordinary. John Deere didn't invent farming. He didn't invent plows. He didn't even invent the concept of steel plows. Others had experimented with steel. But what he did was see a problem, apply practical thinking, obsess over getting it right, and build trust one farmer at a time. He wasn't a genius inventor in a laboratory. He was a working man who paid attention, who thought there was a better way to do this, and then refused to compromise on quality once he found it. That's not just an invention. That is character. From the ashes of failure, from a broken sawmill blade and a desperate gamble on frontier, John Deere built an empire who has helped feed the world for two centuries. Two centuries. So never ever look at a John Deere the same. It's a testimony of nearly 200 years. Started with a broken piece of steel and a man who refused to give up. John Deere was a devout Christian who was an active member and trustee of the First Congregational Church in Malone, Illinois. He was also, beyond his faith, he was involved in public life, serving as the mayor of that town for 2 years. He was a generous man, contributing both local and foreign charitable causes, and was a supporter of the Moline Free Public Library. You see, John Deere's life is a testimony of Mark 9, verses 23. For him who believes, nothing is impossible. I want to beg you this morning, if you are at that point where you want to give up, you've lost it all, maybe. You've lost all hope. I want to encourage you this morning that God's word is still true. For him who believes, nothing is impossible. And I pray in Jesus' name that he will show you a problem, and he will also show you with your talents and your passion and your insight a way to give that problem a solution. And that through your life, others will also be encouraged. May you also be a John Deere who can say that when I was totally lost, I had 5 hungry children looking in my eyes and a wife. I didn't give up. I didn't run away. God helped me, and to him the glory. May this story bless you as it blessed me this week. Amen and amen.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.